Well, we appreciate you all so much. This church has a special place in our hearts for many reasons. Not only have you been supporting that work, but like you heard, you sent, I believe it was a dozen golden hearts down to help us. So I'm sure some of you recognize those faces. Did you see those faces, Joe?
I'm trying to steal Joe and Charity. Sneak them in my bag to go back. I'm just scared of Mrs. Huber. She scares me. I'm scared of Mrs. Russo because she'd probably be happy. No, it was just wonderful. We had such a good time, Brother George. Those people still ask about you. They still wonder when you're coming again. And I told them we're gonna get you down there. And we're gonna get your wife down there if we have to send a cruise ship. We will do that. But it is just such a blessing. Thank you so much, church, for your support, for your prayers. I hope that gives you a little bit of an insight to what missions really does. It's incredible. I know this church is not foreign to hands-on missionaries and seeing what the Lord does for that, but we're just so thrilled being part of it physically, but also being able to connect with those of you who wanted to be involved physically as well. You can turn your Bibles tonight to Acts chapter 1. Pick up a prayer card like the preacher said, and also, you all have done so much for us. We'd like to give you a little gift. This is a new album that my wife and I produced in Trinidad, Resurrection Power, so you're free to get one of those if you'd like. I probably won't put them out on the table just so the kids don't take them like candy, but if you'd like one, we'd love for you to have one. They don't cost anything. If you'd like to make a donation to the ministry, that's up to you, but we are so grateful that we want you to know how thankful we are. Brother, okay, so I just hear a little bit of a ring, but it may just be in my ears, because sometimes I hear voices, but we just have a few minutes tonight, so we're just going to touch briefly on Acts chapter 1, and we'll read verse 9 together. You can read quietly, I'll read aloud. Acts chapter 1, verse 9. Says this, "And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven." And tonight I'd like to speak to you just for a few moments on the question that the angels asked the men. Church, why stand ye gazing? We've had a few months of just not being as participating as we normally should be. Isn't that true? That's a world around us. It's nothing against any individual church or group of people. But can you imagine the disciples' position? They spent 3.5 years with their master, their savior, the Messiah. And here he is just in a cloud being taken up away from them. And they're standing there going, what next? And the angel comes and says, hey, fellas, you got a job. Why are you standing here? What are we doing sipping tea? Come on, get to it. And I believe at this point in our history-making church, it is time for us to stop gazing and get proclaiming. I preached this to our church over live stream just a couple months ago. As you could see, the whole world closed down with church. And so our church plant did as well. And thankfully, the internet did something good for once. Right? For once, people can use it for, I don't know, they said they're watching and they may not have been, but at least I put it up there and able to preach to them from 5,000 miles away, and it was a gripping moment for us to realize, you know what? We've sat around for a while, haven't we? We've had the unfortunate opportunity, we've got to put in just as much work as we should have been doing the past few months, past three and a half months. Every single command, especially the Great Commission, is two parts. You realize that? In every command, there's two parts. There's the instructions, and there are the actions. Jesus spent 3.5 years giving them instructions. And that second part had to commence at some time. For the last few months of our lives, we've had some good instruction, whether it be it live stream or maybe spending time in our word extra long, or maybe our family Bible time, whatever you had. And now it's time for the action. Now we've got to get going. As you can tell, I'm not going to draw too much attention to it, but I don't think we are long for this world. I don't think our Savior's tarrying is going to continue. I believe it is right around the corner, could be tomorrow. In fact, I'm secretly hoping it's tonight. Amen? If that's the case, Christian, why stand ye gazing? Why stand we keep looking? Why do we keep watching the news? Why do we keep absorbing ourselves with the social media, with the arguments, with the investments of contention, and why don't we start proclaiming? They saw him, they heard him, they touched him, they felt him, they trusted him, and now it was go time, it was game time, it was time for them to hit the ground running. So it is for us. Just a couple of things of why it is time to stop gazing. Why stand ye gazing? Here's why. Number one, the time is limited. The time is absolutely limited. Turn to Romans chapter 13 for me. You know this portion of Scripture very well. But I love it because it applies so much more today than it did yesterday. Every day I feel like we're in a novel. I feel like we're in an end times novel. Do you realize that? I feel like we are in the middle of a huge drama that's taking place. Who needs movies anymore? Right? This is like the greatest entertainment you have. Just look across the business of the United States. You've got everything. You've got violence. You've got crazy people. You've got the villains. And here comes the Christians. I hope. Romans chapter 13, verse 11 says this, "And that knowing the time, that now it is high time to wake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believe." Church, do you know what he's saying right there? He's telling us that right now it's nearer than the first day you got saved. That's true. Some of you have been saved in this room for 30, 40, 50 years, maybe 60. I don't know. I'm not going to pull anyone out of the crowd for that question. But if you think about how close we are to our salvation of our body being raptured up to heaven since we are saved, guess what? I've got news for you. You are much closer today than you were yesterday. And guess what? You're going to go to sleep tonight, and tomorrow you're going to wake up, and you'll be much closer tomorrow. In fact, I think according to mathematics, which I'm not very good at, the ratio increases more and more as we get closer because it is right around the corner. And I have a feeling that Christians aren't realizing that. We're still gazing. We're still looking. We're still watching. While the Bible does say to watch for his return, it doesn't say to gaze up and wonder what happened. It says to get busy working. Matthew 24 gives a whole... Let's go there real quick. We only have a couple minutes, but check out Matthew 24. I find this passage so incredibly illustrating with our day and time. I just can't... I've read it probably 100 times in the past few months, just in awe of what is happening. Matthew 24, look at this. Verse 7. We could have pulled this out of the headlines this morning. Matthew 24, verse 7 says, "For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. And there shall be famines," "and pestilences." Oh, that's what it's called, right? They just call it a different name now. Corona or whatever, Arona. "And earthquakes in diverse places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted." That's supposed to happen too. That's supposed to happen as well. "Afflicted, and shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake." Do you realize that there's 51 nations in the world that have illegalized the word of God that you hold in your hands? There's 194 nations, according to the United Nations, whatever they are, and a quarter of those nations outlawed the book that's in your lap right now. Do you think that verse isn't come true yet? Look at verse 10. "And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another." That sounds pretty familiar if you ask me. Betraying people just for a simple cloth not on their face. Isn't that true? Betraying someone for who they voted for. Look in verse 11. "And many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many." If you didn't know about that, you could come to Trinidad and I'll show you a few thousand dozen of those there. Look in verse 12. "And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold." What better description do we have of today's day? Iniquity abounding and love is waxing cold, is it not? If you're not convinced that the time is limited, Christian, let me tell you, it is limited. I remember years ago, before all this technology came out, and if you had visitors coming, my grandparents were from about 4 or 5 hours drive away, and when they were coming to visit, it was like, you know, Christmas throughout that whole time, right? You're excited, you're getting ready. You didn't know when they were approaching, so you know what you did? You prepared as if they're approaching any minute. And that occurred to me recently when my sister sent me a location. She was coming to our place that we're renting in Buffalo, and I get a notification that says so-and-so 35 minutes away, and shows her, you click it. You probably know how that works. I have no idea. I just got an iPhone when I came to the country, so I have no idea how it works. And I'm watching it, and it shows this little dot approaching. Well, now they are trying to allow us to know everything of everybody and to know every whereabout of anyone we want to. They don't know about Christ's whereabout. And that's the trick we fall into. We think because we know of everyone else's coming or everyone have a GPS on everybody else that we have a pretty good idea with Christ. Guess what? We need to go back to preparing as if we never knew. Because when you do that, you'll be prepared at any moment. Our salvation is nearer than when we believed. Time is limited. Number two, truth is losing. Look at Acts chapter 1 again. Truth is losing, if you didn't already notice. Truth is losing. Acts chapter 1, verse 3. It says this: to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. Can you imagine being amongst Christ, around Christ during that time, and the many infallible truths that were just pouring out of his mouth and that he was demonstrating in front of everybody? How far we've come from that today. Truth is losing drastically. I love being able to teach our history to Christians, as we've done often to our church plant, when it comes to the independent Baptists and what we believe, and Baptists are Bible believers. And I love showing how Christ established the church in Matthew, and from there he had 12 that spread abroad all these churches from the epistles, and then the false church came in. The Catholics tried to rob that, to take away the name Christian, so then they had to be persecuted for that. And slowly but surely, faith continued to be persecuted, and you go hundreds of years down the road, past the Reformation, and you've got Protestants, and then all these different sects of Protestants developed, and then you had to have Baptists. Down through the years of America, you see all these different groups of heretical Baptists pop up, and now we have to be independent Baptists. Well, folks, I'm kind of scared because now the independent Baptists are acting crazy too. What's next? What are we going to have to be next? Independent, non-mask, corona-only against Baptists. What is left for us? You know why? Truth is losing drastically. We are on the outskirts. We are on the fringe of the popularity, and we are definitely the minority. If we don't stand up and start doing something and proclaiming, truth is definitely losing. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 3. Independent Baptists. What's it going to be? How are we going to clarify ourselves next? It used to be a Baptist was a Bible believer. If you came to Trinidad, you know that's not true. A Baptist could be somebody who does voodoo, shoots voodoo dolls. That's another inside joke you're going to have to learn about. You go down south and you realize, oh, I'm not this type of Baptist. What's next? 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 10 says this: but thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. It doesn't say maybe. It doesn't say possibly. If you live for Christ, you will suffer. And that is how you know you're carrying the truth. If we're not suffering, church, there's something wrong. Time is limited. Truth is losing. And lastly, go back to Acts chapter 1. We've got to stop gazing to to show our test of love. To show our test of love. Acts chapter 1, verse 10. Says this, "And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven." He's saying right there, if you love this same one, you better be about his business so he can come back. Show your test of love. Oh, it's incredibly easy to sit in front of him for 3.5 years and enjoy every drop of word that's coming out of his mouth. And just like John was, so close to him, he could hear his heartbeat. And around him, raising the dead and feeding the thousands. But do you know what a true test of love is? When he doesn't show up. Or when he's not there to show up to heal the dead. Raise the dead. Heal the sick. Where's your test of love then? You know, it's easy, Christian, to send the missions money. It's easy to watch the missionary video, to pray for the missionaries. But when you are called to be the missionary in your county and town, where's your test of love? It is more difficult to hand out a tract now than ever before. Do you know why? It's kind of tough when you can't even see people's face. It's kind of tough when you can't even communicate well. The gospel must be done with communication. And we have people that are cutting off the lines of communication. Where's your test of love? You're a member of Walker Bible Baptist Church, but you are a true follower of Jesus Christ. Don't forget that first. Imagine the disciples sitting on the hill realizing, well, it's time to go back home. And somebody says, hold on, wait a second. If we're going to put to use what we've just heard the past 3.5 years, we better get busy. I'm sure there were doubts. I'm sure there were fears. I mean, all but one of them, all 11, were tortured for the name of Christ. Their bodies were totally disintegrated, except for one, because it was a test of their love. Christian, where is our test of love for the one who loved us? Why stand ye gazing? Time to start proclaiming. Father, thank you so much for this time. Thank you for this dear church, these dear people. Lord, we love them so much. Thank you for their heart for you. Thank you for their heart for souls and missions. Would you please bless them as they continue to serve you and be faithful? Lord, what a privilege it is to be here with them tonight. Thank you for the chance we have to meet, Lord, but this chance may be taken away very soon or attempted to be taken away. Help us to stay faithful in every area. In your name we pray these things. With your heads bowed and eyes closed, the preacher's coming.